G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
This is Andrew McLennan. One of the great challenges in the modern Western church is to make disciples of all nations. In our busy lifestyles, it's hard to pin people down to a program, a system, or some form of discipleship that enables believers to grow and develop in their faith. So it's always refreshing when we hear about programs and ministries that are dedicated to this purpose. And it's our great pleasure to welcome one such ministry today. And the founder, Paul Glayton Gibbs, joins us now. Paul, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, Paul. As I said, in the modern Western church, it's no one's fault. Everyone's busy. We do great events. We do great services, great worship experiences. But the challenge is that Monday to Saturday, getting people to live a Christian life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And really just to align ourselves with what God's purpose is, which is obviously advancing his kingdom more than just simply growing churches or ministries, really prioritizing his mission over our ministry, I think is really key to success and to see some cool things happening on the planet.
Yeah, well, speaking of cool things, your ministry is called Pais.life, which just sounds cool, and that's Pais.life. That's also your website, which I would encourage people to check out. But tell us the story behind Pais.
Oh, okay. Well, essentially, I was born into a wonderful family, but not a religious family in any way. I was born with asthma and eczema. And when I was 13 years old, my eczema became septic, which meant I had to lie in a bath at night, because I had yellow pus on my arms and legs. And what would happen was when I took my bandages off, my skin would peel off. And there was a tent crusade being advertised by a teacher. And the boys from my school were coming back, kind of mocking what was happening, but at the same time saying, we saw people get healed. It was really weird. And then one of my friends said, Paul, you should go because you're a bit like a cripple, which I thought was a fair comment. So I went. And on the last night of the crusade, I gave my life to Jesus, went to church, heard that I could pray directly to God, didn't need a priest, and prayed. And within about 9 days, my skin disease disappeared. I've never had eczema again, which was amazing. So I tell everybody the same story. I thought this is good news and bad news. Good news, God is real. The Bible is real. Heaven's reality. Bad news, the devil's real, the Bible's real, hell's reality. I need to tell people about Jesus. And so I thought I was going to be a missionary, went to train to be a missionary. God clearly told me to go back to Manchester. And when I was in Manchester, I got opportunity to reach into schools. And eventually I was in 17 different schools. But the problem was that young people wanted to find out more, but would not go to a local church unless there was somebody there that they knew. And so I had one good idea in my life, and that was in 1992. And we basically recruited other young adults, and we give them a free apprenticeship in ministry, leadership, discipleship, etc. And as a team, we went to Inslee schools, and each one of us was based in a different church, and we acted as a relational bridge. And then fast forward 30 years, we're now in 20 nations around the world, Africa, North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia. Lots of different places and growing as well. So we come along the side of the church and just really encourage them in different ways to live life on mission.
Excellent. So that's phenomenal growth, isn't it? So obviously it's getting traction and it's resonating with people. So if someone was just to bump into you in the street and say, you know, Pais, how can you help me? I'm a Christian. How can your program, how can Pais.life help me? What would you say?
That's a great question. Well, there's so many different ways, really. So we work a lot with teens, for instance. So in that case, we're always looking for those people of peace, those young people are leaning forward. And if that's someone's leaning forward saying, hey, how can you help me? We're not a counseling service. We're more of a coaching group. Like most churches counsel, there's not enough coaches out there. So we're kind of like spiritual coaches. So someone's going to come to us and say, I want to advance God's kingdom. I want to make a difference in the world. How can you help me do that? And we have lots of ways of helping people do that. So we have a different kind of message, a different methodology that we give young teens. We have an academy that they join. They stay in their church. They don't go anywhere. But we come alongside them, train them how to share their faith, train them how to be discipled, train them how to make disciples, train them in different methodology for Bible study that really works with teenagers. And so that's really what we're about. So we would be all over them, disciple them, and help them make disciples. And the same thing for churches. We come alongside. So the main people, if I'm honest, who reach out to us are probably church leaders right now. You know, particularly since the pandemic, they're saying we've built a crowd, we're not sure we've made disciples, and we really want our people to really live life on mission. And we have a different way of doing certain things, and so we're kind of bringing those newer ideas, I guess, to them and coming alongside them and equipping them. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's essentially what we do.
Yeah, it does. And I'm sure you've got some amazing examples of someone who's connected to PAYS and just has been transformed through discipleship. I'm putting you on the spot now, but can you think of a couple of really good examples of some people who've just experienced incredible transformation through this discipleship?
Yeah. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I bumped into Alex in Nairobi. Alex was on the streets, living on the streets. He had no home, lived with his friends. He had fungus on his feet. He wasn't going to school. One of our team reached him. He really wanted to find out. So the kind of Christianity we share is a little bit different. We believe there are two types of Christianity and two gospels. And our gospel is not Jesus came to rescue you. Our gospel is Jesus came to recruit you, which we believe is really in line with what Jesus had to say. And so we recruited Alex to the kingdom of God. He got involved. And eventually we got him in school. We got him in hospital to fix the problem he had with his feet. He got saved. And then he turned around and said, can I do what you do? So he joined a PAYS team. And then he became a team leader. And he trained other people in that. And I've got a picture on my computer of him and some 20 people his disciple, which is great. And I bumped into him a few weeks ago. I was in Nairobi visiting our teams there, and he's now a youth pastor in a church. So he's gone from just complete no direction, no home, no schooling, no education, to now leading other people in things of the kingdom, which I love. And then there's big picture stuff. We have a guy who came from Pakistan, Islamabad. I can't talk too much about this just for security reasons, but he came, he joined us, he's gone back, and we've now got schools in Islamabad calling us to complain that we're not going into their school.
Amazing. So, yeah, those sort of stories, especially the one from Alex in Nairobi, they must help you sleep well at night, just knowing that God's using PAYS to bear fruit like that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm getting old now, so it's great because the other week I bumped into somebody who was on PAYS, and they told me who their mother was, and their mother was on one of my first teams in England. So we're seeing children of some of our earlier members come on PAYS now, which is, I really enjoy that, to see that as well. So, yeah.
Now, I'm guessing, sorry?
How naughty their mothers and fathers were as well.
You can dob them in, yeah. Well, yeah, well, don't come and meet my kids. But so I'm guessing too, you're in 20 nations, that's a big spread of people and people groups. So you must use a little bit of technology in your program as well?
Yeah, so we train. Our discipleship method, I would say, is quite strong. So we have a discipleship program, and part of that, I use Zoom a lot. So I'm discipling every month my key national directors. They're discipling their team leaders. Those team leaders are discipling the team members who are discipling the young people. So we call it the flow. There's a flow of teaching and training. And the way we have these kind of Jesus questions that we like to ask. So when we think about discipleship, we ask the question, why is it that we spend so much time educating people and hoping they have an experience when Jesus took people on experience that led to education? So we use technology to help people go on experience, or take them on experience and use technology to then educate them afterwards. So it's a mixture of high tech, high touch.
Yeah, that's a great way of phrasing it. And I'm going to ask you two questions which require two answers. Number one, what is the biggest challenge, do you think, to us in the West today to make real disciples? And number two, how's PAYS overcoming that obstacle?
Brilliant question. So this is big picture stuff, I guess. So I genuinely think there's a problem with the way we frame our Christianity. So I believe when Jesus came, he was mainly speaking to believers, not non-believers. You don't hear Jesus try to convince people as a God. So everything we use to convert Christians, he was using to convert believers. And of course, one of the main things he said is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And we don't have time to unpack that. But what I would say is there was a religion that Jesus witnessed and one that he wanted. And I frame it these two ways. I call it Christian-centric, which is to pursue our vision, do it God's way, so he gives us what we want. And then there's to be kingdom-centric, which is to pursue God's kingdom and do it his way, so we give him what he wants.
Mm.
And what he wants is for all people to come to know him and believe in the truth. And I think unless we align ourselves with this is about the kingdom and advance of the kingdom, this is not simply preaching to people, Jesus came to rescue you, to be in church, but this is Jesus came to recruit you to advance the kingdom of God. That puts an onus on us then to think, well, how do we not just counsel people, but how do we equip them? And I think it's Proverbs that says, without vision, people throw off self-discipline. But with vision, people become disciplined and discipled all by themselves sometimes. So giving people a bigger vision of what Christianity is really about. And I'm writing a book on that that will be out in May, just helping people guide through what does that look like to move from being Christian-centric to becoming more kingdom-centric.
Brilliant. I love that so much. What's the book going to be called?
Kingdom-centric, Reframing Christianity.
Well, I'm going to look out for that one. Kingdom-centric, Reframing Christianity. Paul, I could speak to you for hours. I just feel that what you're doing is so needed right now. It's so of God. It's so biblical. And it just feels like the church in the West is moving towards this now. I'm hearing more and more people talk like you, Absolutely. More and more pastors talk like you, that we've realized that the big event, the big service with a lot of people at church lifting their hands and singing with the smoke machine and the lights, it's all good, but it doesn't make disciples. And so everyone's looking for something deeper. So, Paul, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing and for coming to Australia. I know it's a mission coming out here. You're now based in Texas, which was, what do they say in Texas? Some of us were born here and the rest of us got here as soon as we could. So you obviously got there as soon as you can, but you've come all the way to Australia to share what you're doing and build your ministry out here. I want to thank you for that. And also thank you for your time today, joining us on 2020 to share a little bit of your story.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity and you've asked great questions. So that's been great. Thanks so much indeed.
And just to remind our listeners, the website is PAYS, PAYS.life. That's PAYS.life. And maybe you or your pastor or your church could do with a really good discipleship program. This is one well worth checking out. Once again, Paul, thank you for your time.
Could I mention one thing, which is if people know of any young adults, 18 to 30, we offer them a free mission year, an apprenticeship, free training, free accommodation, three meals, and I would suggest it's world-class training. So if they know any people, just send them to the website, like you say, pays.life, and we'd love to interview them and maybe offer them a position.
Excellent. Thanks again, Paul.
Okay. Bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.